Titan is often called a prebiotic Earth because we have oxygen, but the oxygen on our planet is because of life. The plants that evolved give off oxygen, and that's primarily why we have so much oxygen on Earth that we now, as mammals and animals, because the plants give it off. If you were to freeze Earth, like, you know, 3.8 billion years ago or something, or before, or 4 billion years ago prior to life, and it probably would have been, the atmosphere would have been a lot more similar to Titan, where we still have the nitrogen, and then the oxygen would come later.
Felix Wozniak, a graduate student at the Arkansas Center for Space and Planetary Sciences, points to a video on the computer. The video shows liquid methane evaporating under atmospheric conditions similar to those found on Saturn's moon Titan in a lab simulation. The experiment is being conducted in the Keck lab of the Space Center to measure the condensed methane's rate of evaporation. It is part of some of the path-breaking research being conducted at the center that celebrates its 10th anniversary this week. According to the center's director, Dr. Lynn Oliver, it was established as collaboration between the University of Arkansas and the Oklahoma State University.
If you looked on our campus at that time, we had an individual in physics, Dr. Claude Lacey, who was an astronomer. He was the only astronomer in the physics department. You had Professor Derek Sears in the chemistry department, who was a cosmochemist. He was doing chemistry of meteorites and things like that. We had Professor Tim Krall in the biological sciences department doing what we call astrobiology, asking questions about the conditions under which life might exist on, say, Mars. So by themselves, they were a small component in terms of the research in their home departments, but by coming together and joining with scientists at Oklahoma State University, they sort of had a critical mass of people from which they could form a center for space and planetary sciences. The Oklahoma State group has, many of those folks have since left that university, and so for various reasons, they're no longer a part of the Space Center. But over the years, we have picked up an astronomer at the University of Arkansas in Little Rock, so we still have more than one university represented. And then it's grown from there.
Dr. Oliver says the center has achieved many notable goals in the past 10 years, coming together of faculty from various disciplines such as physics, mathematics, astrobiology, and different branches of engineering has enabled the center to pursue new research opportunities and grants. These grants, in turn, have enabled the hiring of new faculty in the center as well as various departments. The center also established a graduate program 6 years ago that attracts students looking for interdisciplinary education in space-related sciences.
Some of the researchers have large grants that are funded, and they will have graduate students both from the Space Center and from their home department. We have an exciting bunch of, and these are, I would say, highlights of the Space Center in recent years. We have an exciting bunch of assistant professors, and they were successful in bringing in about $1.4 million from NASA. And this is a very sizable grant. Dr. Vincent Chevrier is a research assistant professor that was hired with Space Center resources. He has grants to study Mars, and about a year ago was awarded a large grant, a $750,000 grant, to study Titan, one of Saturn's moons. It's one of our space missions that we've sent out. I believe it was sent out in 2004. Is the Cassini-Huygens mission, and it went to the Saturn system. So it's now orbiting that system and sending data back. And it's been doing that for a number of years now. And so we're getting lots of new data on both Saturn and its moons.
According to Dr. Oliver, the Space Center is unique in its ability to theoretically model the chemistry of Titan. With the help of an Andromeda chamber that is used to recreate atmospheric conditions on Titan, experimental data can be recorded to feed parameters into those models, which then can be used in conjunction with the data being returned from the Cassini-Huygens mission.
So, you know, Titan is a fascinating moon. It's the second largest moon in the solar system. It's the only known body that we've found so far that has liquid oceans or liquid bodies of liquid. They're not water. It's too cold for water. They're hydrocarbon liquids like methane. Its temperature is very, very different than the surface of the Earth or Mars. And its atmosphere is not made up of nitrogen and oxygen like the Earth. It's similar in one respect, and that's about 95% nitrogen, but the remainder are things like hydrocarbons, like methane, probably ethane, hydrogen, and some other things. So the questions that we want to ask are, how do these chemicals or these constituents of that atmosphere, how do they behave at those temperatures and with those pressures?
Dr. Oliver walks towards the andrometer.
Yeah, be careful here, there's a lot of stuff. All right, this room here houses the Andromeda chamber, and you can see it's this huge, it's sort of a two-story apparatus here where we have a lot of steel framework that with ladders and catwalks where we can get up to load things from the top. And inside this big chamber is housed a large steel cylinder in which we can control the environment. All right, so we can put, in the new experiments, we want to put methane, but eventually we want to try to look at methane and maybe ethane. And we want to, again, be able to lower temperature, change pressure, that sort of thing. We have one of our grad students who's the lead researcher on the Titan work right next door here. Let me see if I can get him out. Hey, Felix?
Yes?
Can you come out and tell us a little bit about the specific experiments that you all are have in progress with Titan?
Felix Wozniak has been a graduate student at the Space Center since 2007. He explains the various parts that make up an andrometer.
To get things cold, we use liquid nitrogen. Liquid nitrogen is a liquid at minus 320 degrees Fahrenheit, which is a little bit colder than what Titan's temperature is, which is actually very convenient, because then we can just warm things up a little bit with electronic heaters. So it turns out that we can simulate the environment quite easily and fairly cost-effectively. We have our chamber backfilled with nitrogen gas, and then we want to simulate lakes is a big part of our research because Earth has a water cycle. There it's methane and ethane and other types of things. So we will condense those things. We get methane in gas bottles, and we condense it in our cold chamber. And then it's poured into a pan where it's weighed, and then as it evaporates, it's continuously weighed. So we can get a rate of evaporation quite simply.
The andrometer also has a video camera and a webcam. The former did not hold up very well in the extreme cold, but the latter has helped record footage of the conditions inside the andrometer. The temperature ranges between minus 260 and minus 300 degrees Fahrenheit, which is colder than the lowest temperatures ever recorded on Earth. Dr. Oliver says the center plans to continue to build its VIDA with more cutting-edge research.
Grants are being written as we speak for new equipment, sizable pieces of new equipment. If those are brought in, that will, you know, open up new areas of research. One of the things that we've are really excited about doing is sample return and analysis. And by that I mean spacecraft that go out to, say, an asteroid and actually collect some of the material and bring it back. We have research that's ongoing where we've been able to shrink some of the techniques, the experimental techniques we use to analyze material, down to being able to analyze micron size. All of these are things that the Space Center is looking at toward the future, but I'm sure there are several other things that I haven't mentioned that as we get together and put together a new 5-year, 10-year vision plan, you know, we'll have additional answers.
A 2-day workshop as part of its 10th anniversary celebration will be hosted by the Space Center tomorrow morning. Dr. Lynn Oliver has the details.
The Space Center has a board, and the director or the lead person on that board will be in town, and he will kick off things in the morning on Wednesday morning, and then we'll have a series of talks that are less technical. They're more overview talks about where the space, you know, how the Space Center was formed, where it's been, where it is today, and the various research areas. In the afternoon, we'll have on Wednesday, we will have an open house where we'll have lab tours. We also have a set of posters that will be up that are less technical. Wednesday night, there will be a banquet, and our university's vice Provost for Research and Economic Development, Jim Rankin, will be giving an address at that banquet. We'll follow those activities on Wednesday with a full set of more technical talks on Thursday. So,
the 10th anniversary celebration for the Arkansas Center for Space and Planetary Sciences will take place in the Field House, which has housed the Space Center since 2004. For Ozarks at Large, this is Iti Agnihotri Mudholkar.